Welcome back, Through the Word. Melanie Hurlbut here as we dive into Psalm 6 on this remarkable journey through the Psalms. In the introduction, Psalms 1 and 2, we've seen two paths open before us. One that leads to destruction and one that leads to life. We caught a glimpse of the rebellion of the nations as they foolishly fight against God's plans being fulfilled on the earth. But we also heard the Lord's laughter as he installed his son on earth as king to call the nations to allegiance. Quite remarkably, the Lord offered the blessing of the righteous one featured in Psalm 1 to all nations in Psalm 2, who will take refuge in him. Then, as we entered Book 1 of the Psalms, we encountered David's prayers arising out of devastating conflict with his enemies, both with his own son Absalom, who led his countrymen in civil war, as well as with the surrounding idolatrous nations. David lumps them all together in sweeping terms, such as his foes, the arrogant, the wicked. And he prays for God to banish them for their sins and to bless the righteous. It's within this context that the opening of Psalm 6 takes us by surprise. And so it begins for the director of music with stringed instruments, according to Sheminith, a psalm of David. Now listen, as David cries out to the Lord in verse 1, with an instrumental score in the background that we might not have expected. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Wow, can you feel the huge emotional shift in the music from David's first few psalms? David doesn't give us any personal details here, but for the first time in these opening psalms, David sees himself in danger of the Lord's anger and wrath. This is the first of seven penitential psalms in the Psalter. And David, convicted of his sin, knowing where the wrong path leads to destruction and death, cries out for help to the Lord. I can hear one of my favorite Hans Zimmer soundtracks playing in the background here. Perhaps you know it. The eerie and evocative sounds from The Lion King, when Simba and Nala encounter the smells of death as they enter the elephant's graveyard. Like them, David knows something is deeply wrong. He's going to need the Lord's help to escape this destination of the bad road he's chosen. But David also knows that in this sinful state, the Lord's holy anger or wrath could kill him. Have you ever found yourself in this terrifying place? You've been foolish. You've done something wrong, and that sick feeling in your gut fills you with a holy dread of the consequences, both immediate and long-term. The sounds and smells of death are all around you. It's at times like these that what you really believe about the Lord is exposed. Where do you go? What do you do? What do you say? Do you keep foolishly going the wrong way? Or do you try to hide away in shame? David doesn't do either. Listen to David's deeply honest prayer. Verse 2. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. Did you hear David's two requests? Have mercy on me, Lord. Heal me. David doesn't run from the Lord because of his sin. He runs to him. He cries out in weakness, I am faint. Acknowledging that his sin has left him painfully powerless and sick, David cries out for healing. We get the sense from David, like Simba, trying to scratch his way up the steep walls of the elephant's graveyard, that if God doesn't come to help him, his doom is sealed. Verse 3. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Now, anguish is a strong word. Not only is David feeling physically sick, he is in mental and emotional pain. Listen to his three requests. Turn, Lord, deliver me, save me. The instrumental music here swells in intensity. Where did David find the strength and courage to call out to the Lord in this desperate state? David prays, save me because of your unfailing love. And this is where we see it. David's deep faith and confidence in the Lord's name. In fact, as we go through the Psalms, we will see the Lord's name, Yahweh, is David's constant meditation and motivation, compelling him to pray and empowering him to trust in God's covenant-keeping love. Just like the righteous man in Psalm 1, David shows himself to be a man who delights in God's instruction. And as we go through David's Psalms, we catch a glimpse of David's favorite parts of the Torah, muddied with his fingerprints as he returns to them again and again. And here it is. David prays from Exodus 34, 6 and 7, the place where Yahweh taught Moses to pray for the idolatrous Israelites all those years before. So let's stop the music here just for a minute, because this is really important. And it's something we often miss as we read through the Old Testament, because we're conditioned to think of the Lord's name Yahweh as synonymous with the phrase, the I am that I am, from Exodus chapter 3. Now, that's true, but there's so much more to it than that. The Lord's name revealed in that early chapter in Exodus is incomplete. It's better for us to think of it as written with an ellipsis. You know, the dot, dot, dot coming after it that leaves us waiting for what comes next. Imagine Moses saying, "Okay, God, so you're the I am that I am, are you? Could you elaborate, please? The I am that I am, what?" And that's exactly what God reveals to Moses as he journeys with him intimately and profoundly through Israel's monumental failure, through intercession, to the Exodus climax, when God's Spirit fills the tabernacle to dwell in their midst. It's against this backdrop of Israel's failure that God's character is revealed. Remember the drama? Moses was up the mountain to ratify the covenant, while the Israelites below, with no capacity to trust in a God they can't see, built and worshipped the golden calf, jeopardizing God's entire salvation plan. But refusing to let go, Moses had pressed into God and learned to pray as never before, crying out, "Lord, show me your glory." The Lord revealed to Moses what he had been waiting for, the glorious what of his name. This is so good that we just have to stop to listen to this here. It's rich and beautiful, like worshipping to Corey Asbury's song, Reckless Love. The Lord made his goodness pass before Moses and proclaimed his name, the Lord, the I am that I am, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet not leaving the guilty unpunished. And immediately Moses bowed his head and worshipped and prayed, "Lord, forgive our wickedness and our sin, and take us for your inheritance." Like the prayer we heard the Messiah pray for all nations in Psalm 2. David's confidence, even in the darkest of times, even when he himself is the problem, is right here in this glorious refrain that sings the what of the Lord's name. And so David prays audaciously, learning from Moses, "Save me because of your unfailing love." Verse 5. "Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes." But if David is so confident in Yahweh's character, why this deep anguish? Why does he wear himself out with groaning and flood his bed with tears? Let's turn back up the Hans Zimmer soundtrack again from the Lion King's elephant graveyard scene to help us. Can you hear the eerie soundtrack we listened to at the beginning turn frantic as Simba and Nala are surrounded and then chased by hyenas wanting to eat them for lunch? Something we forget so easily is that sin takes us somewhere on a path towards destruction, just like we were taught in Psalm 1, a path where enemies both within and without are waiting to eat us for lunch. David needs God's salvation because of his foes. Bursting on the scene, like Mufasa to rescue Simba, David suddenly lifts up his voice, and we hear, joined with his voice, the roar of the Lord. Verse 8. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. David has not held on to his sin. He's seen where it leads. He smelled death all around him, and he's seen his foes surround him. And what has he done? He has cried out to the Lord of unfailing love, to the glorious God who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. And David has been heard. With confidence, he finishes this penitential psalm in verse 10, proclaiming, "All my enemies will be overwhelmed with shame and anguish. They will turn back and suddenly be put to shame. The Lion of Judah has fought on David's behalf." And like the hyenas, hightailing it away from Mufasa, David can see his enemies turning tail to run. It's an amazing rescue of David by the Lord his God that shows the incredible glory of the Lord's steadfast love. But it also teaches us how important it is to listen to and obey the words of the Lord. This psalm humbles me. How often do I stray foolishly, wanting to seek my own adventure instead of delighting in God's way? And when I do, what do I do? What will you do? David teaches us to cry out with all that is in us for the Lord's salvation because of his unfailing love. So no matter what difficulty you're facing, whether caused by your own sin or that of others, like Moses, like David, cry out. And don't stop crying out for the salvation you need until you hear the roar of the Lord's steadfast love.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.